Back here for the start of the second quarter. Second down and one for MU. Play action and flags flying. Another procedure penalty against Monmouth here. A bit of the penalty problems here to begin in this one. Third Monmouth penalty so far on the day. That last run to finish up the end of the first quarter for KB Asante, the 9-yard pickup, put him over the 1,000-yard mark. So Monmouth has not one but two guys join that club that now only has four members in it in the 21-year history of Monmouth football.
Best part, Matt, both of those running backs will come back next season.
Yeah, both guys will be around to carry the offense again next year. Asante gets it, looking to spin his way forward, try to get the first down, held up at the 41-yard line, about a yard shy. So make it third down and one, was able to get back the penalty, picking up five. Third and one here as we're up and going. 20 seconds gone by in the second quarter. Duquesne leading 13-0.
Monmouth offense in need of a big pickup here. And then end this drive with points. Again, this is their first drive in the second quarter where they will have this wind at their back.
Trips off to the left. Asante looking for the first down. He'll have it and a little bit more. Close to the 36-yard line. That's another gain of just about five. Make it first and 10 for MU.
Matt, taking a look at our first quarter statistics, the Dukes outgained Monmouth 134 to 91 total yards. Duquesne averaging 10 yards per play. The bigger number, Ryan Ho, already with 48 rushing yards in this game. The Dukes, who come in averaging 100 yards a game, already 71 on the ground.
Split back formation, play action. Hill rolling to his right, dumping it in the flat for Jake Morrow, who will make the catch and get about four. Breaks the plane of the 35, down close to the 32-yard line for Morrow, his fourth catch of the year. Second and six, a long six coming up for Monmouth.
They roll the pocket right, get Brandon Hill out, single read. Morrow does well to make the catch. Good yardage on first down. At least you start to loosen up that Duquesne linebacking unit. This Duke's defense, Matt, I'll say, one of the better units Monmouth will face this season.
Wing receiver combo off to the left. Hill, three-step drop. Finds Sterling at the 22-yard line. Sterling hangs on with a couple of defenders and breaks the plane of the 17, gets to the 16-yard line. That's a first down pitch and catch, a 17-yard hookup, and it will be first and 10 for MU.
Single coverage on the outside. Sterling wins at the point of attack and then gives Brandon Hill a nice big target right on the inside of the 20-yard line, dragging ball carriers inside that number.
Two backs set this time. Morrow, the fullback. Formation left. Asante as the deep man, about 3 yards behind Hill in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Will give to KB, who's hit in the backfield and dropped. That'll be about a yard and a half loss. Good interior pressure that time. Give the credit to Sam Martello, the middle linebacker, blitzing up the middle. Close the play down. Make it second down and 11. 12:40 to go. Second quarter. Duquesne 13 and Monmouth nothing.
That's that solid Duquesne defense. This is a very formidable unit, Matt. They only allow 3.5 yards per carry, and they're really good against the pass. So if they can make you one-dimensional, that's what they want to do.
Fable and McLafferty in a tight end wing combo off the right side. Sterling slot left. Davenport wide man to the left. Second and 11. Play action. Pressure coming. Hill hanging in there. Going over the seam. Finding Fable. Touchdown. Zach Fable on an 18-yard strike from Brandon Hill. And credit Hill for hanging in the pocket that time. Took a hard shot, and Monmouth on the scoreboard.
Great throw, and you said it. Hill, in the face of pressure, steps up, makes a picture-perfect throw to the outside shoulder of Zach Fable running down the seam, and then credit 85. How about the adjustment in midair to go and make the catch for Monmouth's first score, and they begin the second quarter with a touchdown.
Second touchdown reception of the season. On for the extra point is Spillane. High snap. Great job by Charlie Vellis to get it down, and by Eric Spillane readjusting, able to get it through. Spillane still a little bit gimpy, but make it 13-7 on the scoreboard. 12:07 to go in the first half. We're back in 30 seconds with Mara Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network.
Fans, Scala's Pizzeria is proud to support the Monmouth Hawks. For great pizza and more, visit them one block away from the ocean in West End, or check out their website, scalaspizzeria.com.
Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti back here after a Hawk touchdown, 18-yard strike from Brandon Hill to the sophomore tight end, Zach Fable. Lucas Santangelo on to kick off for the first time today. This one in the end zone and held back in the end zone. Number 12, Jason Douglas, thinks better to pull it out, and it will come out to the 25-yard line. 10 plays, 62 yards, 4:40 off the clock. Hill to Fable, the scoring play from 18 yards out.
Brandon Hill, 6 of 10, 54 yards, as Matt mentioned, that touchdown. Big play on the drive was the 16-yard pitch and catch from Hill to Sterling that ultimately set that touchdown up.
So now on 1st and 10, let's see what the defense can do. 12:07 to go in the first half, 13-7 Dukes. Coming up under center for the first half today, Dylan Beekel. Straight eye formation. It'll be Ho off the right side, stacked up at the 26-yard line. Gain of only a yard. Nice interior defense that time. I see O'Hara and Jerzynski getting off the bottom of the pile. Let's make it 2nd and 9.
Look for this Monmouth run defense to continue to get better, Matt, in this game. We've seen them give up yards early in games and then get better as the contests wear on. You have to think they'll adjust to this Duquesne team, who, again, not a good running team. They want to put the ball in the air.
2nd and 9, and Beekel will go back into the shotgun with a two-back set, moving the tight end Schumann across the formation from right to left. Play action. Here comes pressure. Beekel goes down the seam, finds that man, Schumann, at the 48-yard line. Looks like they will spot him right around the 48-yard line, still in Duquesne territory. Nice reception that time for Kyle Schumann, the 6'5", 245-pound tight end.
Beekel's not a big guy, Matt. He only goes about 180 pounds. He looked like an outfielder on the baseball diamond on that one. He puts his whole body into the throw, cuts it right through that wind. Nice seam pass to the tight end for the first down.
11th catch of the year for Schumann. 4 wide receiver set this time for Beekel. Wind didn't bother him there. 10:56 to go in the first half. Play action. Quick pass to the outside. That catch is made by Dave Thomas, the sophomore wideout behind the line of scrimmage. I think he got back to the line, and that's about it. So we'll call it no gain and make it 2nd and 10.
That's what we saw Monmouth do going this way in the first quarter. A lot of short stuff, some screens to the outside. Tevron Brandon did well on the outside there for no gain.
2nd and 10 from their own 47-yard line. Beekel will now look over to the sideline. The offense, very similar to the offense that Monmouth runs. You know, short shotgun, a lot of movement, different formation looks. This time slot receiver combos to either side. And a draw play for Ho. Runs right into the line. Monmouth had good interior pressure. Demersion tripping him up with a shoot top tackle. 1 yard pickup, make it 3rd and 9. And now MU will bring on the nickel. Nick Carroll will go as the 5th defensive back. He's on with Gray and Andrew Sutton. Tevron Brandon and Joe Johnson, the corners. The linebackers in this set, McDonough and Demersion. Irizarry, Eisenstadt, O'Hara, and Leslie, the 4 up front. Monmouth showing pressure with McDonough coming off the edge. Sutton has walked into the box as well. Long cadence. MU brings 6. Beekel lets it go. Good touch on it. Did Thomas stay in bounds? Did not. Well, Beekel took a shot as he released the football. Did a good job of trying to hang in the pocket. Dave Thomas caught it, but out of bounds. Another win for the MU defense to set up 4th and 8 and a punt coming up.
I'll tell you, credit Thomas, though. He wasn't in bounds, but diving for an attempt. But you mentioned it, Matt. When Monmouth brings in that nickel package, especially the pass rushers up front, they've been able to really get after the opposing quarterbacks, now forcing a punt.
First punt of the day for Aaron Fleck, number 64, the junior from Oakdale, Pennsylvania. Monmouth blocked the punt last week. Mild pressure here. Short punt into the wind. Everyone in blue saying get away as it bounced around the 30-yard line and will stop close to the 29, where it will be first down and 10 for Monmouth. Took advantage last time of having the wind at their backs. Let's see if MU can do it here again. 13-7 our score in favor of Duquesne. 9:22 to go in this first half.
And while we have a minute, we'd like to thank our friends at University Subs, located on the corner of Larchwood Avenue and Wall Street in West Long Branch, our official press box food provider. MU students receive 10% off of their total order at USubs and also at myusubs.com.
Three wide receivers set, two up top to the left, one back to the right. Here's Hayes getting a crack on first down. He is dragged down in the backfield, lost about a half a yard. Good interior pressure that time by Aaron Reed, the freshman inside linebacker. Reed from McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania. It's an interesting roster makeup of Duquesne. Maybe when we have a second, we'll be able to run through it a little bit more. A solid infusion this year of Division I transfers and junior college players. Second down and a long 10. Let's call it 11. Stand-up defensive line. Hill in trouble and will get sacked. That time, Christian Kuntz, who has caused some havoc already in the backfield, went around Brandon Maxwell. Hill tried to deke him, but that's not his game. With about a six-yard loss, it'll be third down and long.
Loss on the play.
Really nothing you said Brandon could do. Once that initial pressure comes, Duquesne doesn't blitz often, Matt. When they do, it's clever, and they normally get to the quarterback, at least to supply a hit on him. That time they sack Hill, forcing third and long.
Again, everybody standing up on the front four for Duquesne. They will rush all of those four. Hill hanging in the pocket here. This should be pass interference. There it is. Elijah Phillips looked like he was going to break down the seam. If he caught it, he probably scores. Tripped up by Nick Floyd, the corner. This should give Monmouth a first down.
Yeah, it's an easy call as Phillips was turned as the midpoint trying to get to the ball. And we just got the call from our official, again, Larry Saunders, letting us know that pass interference will result in a first down.
Ball will be spotted out to the Hawks 38-yard line. 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. 8:01 to go now, second quarter. MU trailing by 6, 13-7. They've certainly had a little bit more jump in their step in the last couple of drives. Two back set, Morrow and Hayes. And flags flying, another procedure penalty today against Monmouth. I don't remember a game like this all season long where Monmouth has had so many procedure-type penalties on the offensive side.
And the worst part of it is you look at that offensive line, Matt, and what's one thing you don't see is an underclassman. A lot of upperclassmen. We're going to reset the clock. Three fifth-year seniors, a regular senior, and a junior. And this is game 12. You figure at this point, you'd have things cleaned up, especially at home.
Monmouth came in with 43 total penalties, less than four a game. They've already got four in this first half. First and 15, Hill will check over to the sideline and get a new set of plays signaled in. Split wide receiver set, tight ends either way. Asante picking a spot off the right side, running hard, and a good shot at the point of contact, the 36-yard line by Chris Johnson, University of Florida transfer. Johnson listed as a junior, 5'10", 203 pounds. And that's a guy who played at the University of Florida, now is transferred out and made his way into the starting 11 on the defensive side for Duquesne.
That's a pretty amazing number of schools, Matt, when you look up and down the Duquesne roster. You said it. Florida, Ohio State, West Virginia. A lot of guys with big-time experience found their way to Pittsburgh.
Second down and 12. Bubble screen set up. Sterling catches it behind the line of scrimmage. Breaks one tackle. Runs through another at the 45-yard line. Sterling will get to the 46. Be about 2 yards shy of a first down. 10-yard pickup. Third down and 2.
That was a lot of good work by Sterling. Breaking tackles. Almost picking up the first down, but to close the point, Matt, on the Duquesne roster, you look at it, a lot of big-time experience, and then you said it, a lot of junior colleges represented on that roster as well, and that's how you get guys who are ready to play right away.
Duquesne with some late changes here. Monmouth tried to get up to the line. I think Duquesne will use a timeout. They will. We'll step out real quick as well. They would have had too many men on the field. First charge timeout of the game to the Dukes, who lead this one 13-7, 6:44 to go in the first half. We're back in 30 seconds with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network.
Fans, we'd like to remind you, basketball season and single game tickets are on sale. 732-263-5735 is the number, or email hawktickets@monmouth.edu.
Third down and two as we come back from the timeout. Asante, the single man in the backfield. He will get the carry, great patience, and looks like he's going to have just enough for the first down. Looked like a play that would have been doomed from the start, but Asante kind of held up his run, believe it or not, and then kind of picked the spot off the right side and gets 2.5 and up to move the chains here for MU.
You said it was the patience that KB displayed. If he tried to just put his head down and go, he runs into a wall of humanity. Instead, he just sidesteps that, burrows forward, and gets the first down.
First down and 10 from the Hawks' 49-yard line. Five-man front here for Duquesne. They bring all five. Quick five-yard out pattern to Neil Sterling, who caught the football and then it was stripped away. It will be ruled as a completion into Duquesne territory at the 47-yard line for a gain of 4 yards. Make it second and six.
Gain of four, second down and six.
Sterling this time will join Elijah Phillips on the left side of the formation. Slot receiver combo that way. Mike McLafferty, tight end to the right. Morrow and Asante, offset eye, also to the formation right. KB getting it here, hit in the backfield. Again, pushing the pile forward, though. Gets to the 44-yard line. That's another gain of three. Third down and about three coming up. You know, it doesn't seem to matter when Asante is hit. He always seemingly gets positive yards.
Yeah, unless he's contacted by multiple players before he gets to the line of scrimmage, he always seems to fall forward, Matt. And something I've noticed about KB is he runs very wide. You know, he doesn't keep his legs close together. He's very hard to hit anyway because he's so close to the ground as there is a Duquesne player down. But he runs with such a wide base. That's why he's able to bounce off of so many tackles before he can get his head of steam going forward.
Coming up at halftime, we'll go through scores and stats. Stats on this one, scores from around the country. Really big day as the FCS playoff picture continuing to take shape. We'll give you a look around as many games as we can. Patriot League championship to be determined today. Lafayette and Lehigh.
How about that one, by the way?
Huge game already, and right, then a championship and a playoff spot on the line. It's going to be a penalty on Monmouth. Another procedure penalty with movement up front. This one against Brandon Maxwell. So from third and three, you go now to third and eight.
That's the worst kind of procedure penalty, one that gets you off schedule on third down. That's tough, but how about the close of the point that you just mentioned? You can get probably 10,000 people to go to Lehigh Lafayette anyway. Then add in the fact that the Patriot League's automatic bid to the FCS playoffs is on the line. Tough ticket in Northeast PA.
Crazy to think, too. If Lafayette wins that game, they get the league championship. As Monmouth will use a timeout here, they will go into the playoffs with a 5-6 record overall.
And look at some of the teams, Matt, in that league. Monmouth played Lehigh. They were ranked during the year. Fordham is one of the best teams in the country, and they could potentially be home come playoff time, and the team that represents that league, as you said, would be under 500.
Lafayette leading, by the way. That game is up and going right now in the first quarter, 7-0. It's a game that's at Lehigh, spot we know in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We'll keep an eye on that and all of the games going on around the country.
If we weren't here today, I think I'd like to be out there. That'd be a scene to catch. We've opened up a few seasons out there at the home of the Mountain Hawks. Really nice venue to broadcast and watch a college football game.
Third down and eight after another procedure penalty by MU, and then using the timeout to reorganize. This is a big set of downs here because, again, Monmouth has the wind at their back for the next 5:04. and looking to get themselves back onto the scoreboard. Asante has the back off to the left side. Fable tight end to the right. KB will get it. Draw play up the middle. That's not going to be enough to get the first down on what will only be about a three-yard pickup. Punt team will come on, and a missed chance here. That last penalty really, really hurts. You go from third and two and a half, maybe three, to third and about eight. Another Monmouth player is down. Looks like Zach Fable, number 85. Just can't have those mistakes take place, especially, you know, I think you made this point before, Eddie, game number 12. You know, of course, mistakes can happen at any point, but you hate to see three, four procedure-type penalties with just movement or legal motion or a band formation that really comes back to bite you, especially in a series of downs like this.
It's, Matt, you just think as though, especially with players that have played for a while, that as the year goes on, certain things will get cleaned up. And unfortunately now Fable being looked at by the athletic training staff.
Well, before you finish the point here, one thing about Fable we should take note of, too. He's the long snapper for the punt team, which has already had problems. I believe the backup long snapper for a punt situation is I want to say Lucas Brown, I believe it is, a guy who has not seen a ton of action so far this year. Fable will have to come off here, and if Monmouth does punt it and they have their punt team on, all of a sudden they'll get a new long snapper, and we know the problems that the punt team has had over the second half of the season.
And now Spillane injured, so he may not obviously get a chance to come out. Matt, it's going to be interesting to see what the coaches elect to do here. That play call kind of dictated to me that they were going to think about going forward anyway. And I think that's why we will, in fact, see the offense come back out. The other point is, as you said, now you're down your top two long snappers. Evan Ruane out this season. Fable not in.
Fable will come over to the training table. Looks like he'll ultimately be okay, but the offense does come back on here. It is fourth and five for Monmouth. Sterling and Phillips up top to the left. Hill wanting to throw. Here comes pressure. Hanging in the pockets. Got Nick Lafferty open at the 26-yard line. First down, Monmouth. Nick Lafferty unhappy with himself. He fell with the football. Would have scored had he kept his foot. But instead, a huge first down for MU.
And here's the most encouraging thing. Brandon Hill wanted Elijah Phillips initially. Came off of Elijah to find McLafferty down the seam. Nice throw, nice decision, and a better catch by Mike. Big first down there.
McLafferty stays in, tight end to the right. Three wide receiver set. Asante getting the carry here. Off tackle to the right side. Getting tripped up around the 20-yard line. Gain of just about two. Make it second down and eight. Also with the injury to Fable, he's the second tight end, and Monmouth loves to go with a lot of two tight end sets. It'll be Brandon Sook who will come in right now, who has seen time during the course of the season, but, you know, essentially he is your third tight end.
And those are the three active tight ends today, McLafferty, Fable, and Sook. So now you're down one of those, and both of your healthy tight ends are on the field right now.
Second down and eight. And just to clarify, too, I'll finish the point in just a second. Sterling and Phillips up top to the left. Play action for Hill. Here comes heavy pressure, and Hill will get sacked. Once again, Christian Kuntz, who's been in the backfield three times already today, and you can't really blame Hill on that one. I mean, he play action, and all of a sudden, there's big number 43 coming off the edge to make the sack, but a costly one. However, the ball back to the 29-yard line to set up a third and 17. Lucas Brown is the backup long snapper. I see him continuing to warm up right now, number 98. Mike Hunchek is the guy who does field goals and point afters. But Brown, who is flipping the ball to Ryan Moore, just in case Fable unable to get back into the game. Third down and long here. Asante bouncing off the left side. KB keeps the feet moving, but then dragged down to the 30-yard line. That's a loss of a yard to set up third down and just about 19. And Eric Spillane will come on for a pretty long field goal attempt, a long of 46 in both his career and this season. This year, 10 of 13. And where the ball will be spotted here will be the 37-yard line. So this is a career-long attempt for Spillane. Not attempt, but if he makes it, it would be his career-long. Charlie Vellis with a good hold. Here comes the kick by Spillane. It's knuckling its way off to the left and no good. Didn't really get it up in the air enough. And with 1:49 to go, Monmouth missing an opportunity to put some points up on the scoreboard, and Duquesne will get it back here. Late stages of the second quarter, Duquesne 13 and Monmouth 7.
You know, Matt, I think if you look at this first half, the wind has 20 points. The team going into the direction with the wind at their back has scored every point in this game, and I think that drive and Monmouth not being able to come away with points may come back to potentially haunt them in the second half. Don't kill Spillane for missing that kick. It wasn't easy, but running it on third and long, knowing you needed to maybe pick up a few more yards, tough, tough call for the offense.
Forming in front here for MU. Draw play will be given to number 9, Marcus Hughes. Third running back to see carries here today. Hughes from Falls Church, Virginia, 5'9". 191-pound junior. Right quickly back to the line after the 2-yard pickup is Duquesne. 125 and rolling here in the second quarter. Play action for Beekel. Hangs in the pocket. No pressure. Now steps up. Eludes the rush for a second and then dropped in the backfield. Zach Irizarry will get credit for it, and Monmouth will use a timeout with 1:14 left, trying to set up Duquesne into a punt situation if they can hold here on third and long.
And Duquesne, Matt, going quickly after first down, played into Monmouth's hands there. I was silently telling Monmouth to call a timeout after first down. Duquesne did them a favor by going fast, and now Monmouth able to use that timeout after second down. They've got one left, so if Duquesne keeps it on the ground and gets tackled in bounds, Monmouth can take that third timeout and get the football back with a chance to do something with it.
Keep it here during the course of this break. 1:14 left. Again, scores and stats coming up at the half. Also, the members of the class of 2013, the Hall of Fame class, will be introduced here to the home crowd. Nice dinner and ceremony last night that took place as more of the formal type atmosphere last night. Today, everyone gets recognized in front of the home crowd.
And one of the inductees, one of the best quarterbacks in Monmouth history, Dan Sabella, goes in. His Paramus High School team actually beat Old Tappan last night. They're in the state finals in their group, 17-16. Couldn't make it last night. Happy to see Dan here today.
Three wide receivers off to the right, two back to the left. Empty backfield set for Beekel. Here comes pressure. Bubble screen set up. Duquesne has it set up well. It'll be a first down and more for the Dukes. And running into Monmouth territory, number 8, Dave Thomas, who will take it to the Hawks' 40-yard line.
And now Monmouth has to quickly switch defensive personnel. They may get caught here. Duquesne should just down it.
Everybody gets off the field and a new unit back on first and 10 for Duquesne. Beekel hanging, looking. Tevrin Brandon matched up that time with number 1. That is Noel Oduho, and a pass interference on the far sideline.
Easy call. Tevrin draped all over the receiver. Ball was out of bounds. Coach is saying uncatchable. They're going to confer now. Matt, I still think it's going to be a penalty. It looked as though, and we'll check it on our Hawk Vision play momentarily, but I still think it'll probably end up being pass interference.
It is a penalty and a 15-yarder, which hurts. So you go from third down and long to trying to force Duquesne into punt. Long play to Thomas, and now Duquesne with 50 seconds to go here has it first down and 10 at the Hawks 25-yard line. Beekel dumping it down low, wanting Thomas, and that one thrown incomplete, took off just 3 seconds off the clock, so we're at the 47-second mark.
Thomas actually let it go. He didn't think he was the intended receiver because it was thrown with so much velocity. He thought someone behind me's got to be the intended receiver. Instead, it falls incomplete.
Oduho and Roming this time in a two-receiver set to the left side of the formation. Thomas and Gianni Cardiff up top to the right. Now Marcus Hughes will join the Bunch off to the left side. Empty backfield. Down over the middle. Catch made by Roaming. Inbounds, however. Close to a first down to the 15-yard line. Coverage and tackle by Clark Coe. So not only did Monmouth lose an opportunity to get points on the board in their last drive, because of a couple of things that have happened on this drive, Duquesne trying to score going into the wind before the end of the half. 30 seconds. Beekill getting it, looking into the corner of the end zone, up in the air. Roaming had a crack at it, touched it, and then Clark Coe able to hold them off the football just enough to have it hit the turf and set up a second and 10.
Yeah, thank goodness Clark Coe had such close coverage, because that play, it was tipped up into the air by Roaming, and he was going to try to make a play on the deflection. Coe was right there to throw him to the ground, and the ball fell to the turf.
28 seconds to go, now second and 10. Late stage of the second quarter. Again, a two-receiver set either way for Beekle. Motioning across is Thomas, setting up trips now to the left. Draw play for Marcus Hughes. That will pick up just two to the 15-yard line.
Use the ball carrier. Stop.
And Duquesne, I believe, will use a timeout and stop the clock with 22 and a half seconds to go. We'll step out real quick as well, see what the Dukes do when we come back. 13-7, Duquesne up top. We're back right after this with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports Network. 4 seconds to go. 13-7, Duquesne lead. Second quarter action from Kessler Field. The Dukes will come on now with a third down and 8. Certainly within the field goal range of Austin Crimmins. Wanting more, however. Ball at the Hawks 13-yard line. Again, a two-receiver set either way. Odohue will make the motion man. Inside screen set up for Thomas. That football dropped, however, and on now will come the field goal team. So Duquesne at least doing their job trying to make this a two-score game, and a field goal does that, as it would be 16-7. The interesting thing will be here. Duquesne deferred. They won the opening coin toss. I wonder, you know, you hate to say you never think about taking the football, but it seems today the wind a bit more important than actually even having the ball. Here's Crimmins on for a 30-yard field goal. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, hanging in the air, and good. So the third field goal of the day for Austin Crimmins. This one a 30-yarder with just about 15 seconds to go. 16-7, Duquesne leads. Top 25 scoreboard at the FCS level, at the FBS level rather, and we'll do a full check of FCS scores from around the country. The automatic qualifiers continuing over the course of the day, and then, of course, coming up a bit later on over the course of the weekend, the selection show for the FCS playoffs. Big South was still up for grabs with Charleston Southern, Coastal Carolina, and I believe Liberty still with an outside shot. I don't think maybe to get the automatic qualifying bid, but a win today over Charleston Southern would put them in position to tie for the conference championship and maybe, just maybe, get a at-large bid. Northeast Conference, a tie with Duquesne and Sacred Heart. But the Pioneers, based off of their win last week over Robert Morris and the tiebreaker against Duquesne, will represent the NEC in this year's playoffs. Here's Crimmins on to kick off with 15 seconds to go. I'd be shocked if he doesn't squib this one. So I'll say I'm shocked because he hangs this one up in the air. Brandon lets it bounce. It's picked up by Duquesne and into the end zone. Oh, my goodness. You wouldn't know it if you weren't here. Tevron Brandon got his foot stuck in the turf, fell down on the ground. The ball was touched at the 19 by Palmer. He can't advance that, so it should come back. The referees are talking about it right now. But Duquesne will have a chance for three more at the very minimum within the field goal range already of Crimmins. and seen some of the strangest and weirdest plays this year that have taken place in some of the Monmouth games.
Set the game clock for 14.8 seconds.
Game clock has to get reset. Now with 13.7, time probably for two plays for Duquesne. A couple of quick passes, and the defense having to come right back on here. I said I'd be shocked if the ball was kicked up in the air. It was, and it benefits Duquesne because Brandon got stuck kind of in no man's land. The ball bounced in front of him. He was falling down, picked up by number 25, Brian Palmer, at the 19-yard line, and Duquesne gets it. Back on the offense now, Dylan Beekle. Press coverage for the corners on the outside. Beekle looking down the seam. He's got a man wide open. Touchdown. Dave Thomas. Wide open. Up over the middle. Went right through the linebackers, split the safeties. And Duquesne off again. A crazy play with an opportunity to go up 23-7 with 9 seconds remaining in this second quarter. Sometimes you can't even draw this stuff up. Crimmins back on for the extra point. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and it is good. 23-7. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Monmouth University football right after this on the Shore Sports Network. Quick change of possession for Duquesne has put 23 on the board for the Dukes. 7 for MU. Still go back to that earlier drive for Monmouth in which they get stalled out. Do not get 3 on the board with the field goal. Duquesne able to get themselves down the field. Put 3 on the board. The ensuing kickoff bouncing in front of Tevron Brandon. He can't field it. And then one play later, Duquesne on the scoreboard. Another high end-over-end kick here. Fielded by LeVon Cheney at the 10. 15-20. After the 25 to the 30, gets to the 35-yard line, and with 3 seconds left, Monmouth has time for one more snap from scrimmage.
LeVon Cheney on the return.
Now, do you take a chance down the field here? Set up a Hail Mary type situation, maybe a trick play. You've held in your pocket for the entire season. At 23-7 and in the last game of the year, if you've got anything, now's the time to use it. You have the wind at your back, and let's see what MU does. They've got a trips formation off to the left, Sterling back to the right side. The give will be to KB Asante, who will get a couple, and that will do it for us here in the first half. Monmouth trailing Duquesne after 30 minutes of activity, 23-7. We step out here and take a 2-minute timeout. We're back with more Hawks football, our halftime show, coming up right after this quick break with the Dukes up by 16, 23-7. We're back with more on the Shore Sports Network.